The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, a report on the delivery of housing, transport and energy under the National Development Programme has been published. Ishke Éireann, meanwhile, are warning that the Greater Dublin Area water supply is on a knife edge. We're joined by Sean Defoe, News Talk's political correspondent, and in a moment we'll talk to Pádraig Tobin, the leader of AIM2. Sean, looking across housing, planning, infrastructure and energy, are there common themes emerging from this report?
Yeah, look, it kind of combines an awful lot of what we would talk about pretty regularly on the station when we talk about barriers to infrastructure and developing generally the National Development Plan and other big projects. So things you'd be fairly unsurprised to see in there, overhaul of judicial review, for example, fast-tracking legal challenges that can be made to critical infrastructure and looking at the costs regime, basically to make sure that people can challenge where they have a legitimate interest, but that it doesn't hold up projects for absolutely years and years. There's also interesting bits in it that maybe people might not be aware of with regard to land rezoning that's done by councils. For example, the committee recommends that there should no longer, this kind of seems like a mad situation that this even happens, councils should no longer be able to rezone land without telling the owners themselves. And it recounts some evidence from witnesses who learned about the rezoning of their land in their local newspaper and were never informed. And also then goes on to discuss zoned land taxes, because in some cases these people have ended up where they may never have intended to develop the land. Maybe it was agricultural or whatever, and suddenly they find themselves liable for vacant property tax or whatever else it is, so that should be changed.
Does that happen that often? It sounds unlikely that it does.
Well, it sounds absolutely remarkable in the first place that it happens in any case. The committee report itself doesn't say how often it happens or how many cases, just that they had witnesses before them that recounted this is happening to them and that it's something that should be changed, and then that the Department of Finance should investigate whether the likes of the zoned land taxes are working at all. Are they actually discouraging landowners from allowing their land to be rezoned and doing what they're intended to do?
Okay, so what's the key message from this report on the NDP, on the National Development Plan?
Well, I think if you're taking a key message away, there's doing all of this, there's no silver bullet. So there is no one overarching key message that says this will fix it all. But if you look at some of the areas where they're targeting, say offshore wind, for example, the committee heard that there's no chance of meeting our targets by 2030. That was from the commission, the CRU who put that in there. But also just that we need to be doing things a little bit smarter. And for example, expanding Ishke Éireann, that should have a growth mandate in order to allow it to connect people up more often. But even things like, say, for example, massively sunny day today, anyone with solar panels on their roof is making a fortune. We have solar connected to the grid, but we won't have anywhere to store it tonight because there isn't a massive amount of battery storage in the country for wind or solar energy when we are developing it. It says that storage is only about 300 megawatts per day at the minute. Peak demand is about 6 gigawatts. So we are literally losing about 15% of the power we generate through renewables every year to nothing. And fixes like that will help us towards energy security and then changes to legislation maybe towards delivering that infrastructure.
Okay. Sean Defoe, thank you indeed for that update. Let's bring in the leader of AIM2, Pádraig Tobin. Pádraig, what's your reaction to this report?
Well, I welcome the report.
The report is in its early days. The committee is in its early days in relation to tracking the National Development Plan. But I've listened to a large number of people who have come before the committee. And it's very clear in this country, first of all, that our planning system, our permitting system, our licensing system, our tendering, our procurement, and even our judicial review system, they're all amongst the slowest in Europe. So they're all the levers that the state has in relation to the development of all infrastructure. And in all of those bases, we're way behind other European countries. And even the speeding up of those elements within government would radically speed up infrastructural projects. And that's really, really important. Even the staffing of a commission Planola and all of the council's planning departments is way too low. And as a result, they're inundated and projects are held up. In housing, for example, I know of projects that are on commissioning Planola for 18 months waiting for an answer. In terms of Ishke Éireann, this is one of the big issues, that there is dozens and dozens and dozens of housing projects across the country that are either waiting to be connected or simply not going ahead because there's no chance of a connection happening anytime soon in terms of water. Ishka, we've asked Ishka Aaron, when will all the gaps in the water infrastructure be filled that are currently holding back the building of homes? And they've said it's going to be 2050 before that's finished. That's outstanding. So we're talking about water infrastructure being a problem in terms of building homes right up until 2050 in this country. And that's happened for a number of reasons.
Where does your party stand on the water supply project to bring water from the Shannon to the East Coast to try and tackle these water shortages? Do you support that?
Well, we're very cautious in relation to this, to be honest.
See, is this not the problem? Is this not the problem, Pater?
No.
Political parties, like I'm looking at A2's record on these. You opposed the north-south interconnector, the air grid interconnector. One of your TDs, or sorry, your other TD in the Dáil, Paul Lawless, got up in the Dáil last week to talk about concerns over wind farm proposals in Mayo. So, like, there's three key infrastructure projects, and you're acting as a stumbling block to all those three.
No, so for example, we didn't oppose the north-south interconnector. What we opposed was the overgranding of the north-south interconnector.
Yeah,
so when that project was announced,
that's the same thing. That's what the project is. And you said there would be significant civil resistance that you warned of it if it continued overground.
But there is. Like right now, that project can't go ahead because the landowners won't let that project go ahead. So I was in short trousers when that project was announced first. And I said very, very early in that project that if the government, you know, went bullheaded through in the manner that they were aiming to go through, it would slow the project down and that they should follow the project in between Aachen and Liège. That's the long interconnector between Germany and Belgium. And they should underground that project. And studies were done to show that technology was feasible and the price was feasible.
That's not what the state study into it found. It found that underground would be less reliable, less stable and more expensive. It said even to put 10 kilometres underground, not the 138, would cost 75 million alone for 10 kilometres.
Well, first of all, we have underground proven already in this country in terms of the interconnectors between Ireland and Britain and the developing one between Ireland and France at the moment. So all I'm saying, these projects have to be taken on a case-by-case basis, like in terms of the Shannon Dublin one. So for example, there's 180 million litres of waters leaking out of Dublin every single day. So you're talking about a pipeline that would take 300 million litres from the Shannon, the Partine Basin, up to Dublin. So nearly half, more than half of that is actually been leaked already out of Dublin. And this project has already ballooned. It was initially announced for 1.5 billion. And now they're talking about 10 billion euros
to develop this. Because it's taken so many years, because so many politicians have opposed it. I mean, what's your reason for opposing it? What's your reason for caution?
Well, first of all, obviously, the cost element is the reason for cost for a caution.
Well,
all
the experts say we need this, and Dublin needs this this water, or it will run out of water.
But that's not the case. So you've had many experts actually say that we need a far more diverse supply for Dublin. So, for example, if you're going to base your supply for Dublin on the Liffey and that Shannon pipeline, it is wide open to exposure in terms of pipeline difficulties or poisoning or the wrong materials.
I think Dublin is currently
am
I right in saying Dublin is currently dependent on one pipeline of water at the moment? If anything were to go wrong with that, we would be in huge trouble.
Sure.
This is offering up providing an alternative to that. Is the reason politicians are opposed to it because there's a knee-jerk reaction to it in certain constituencies around the country, the unpopular thing, and that's a big problem with all of our infrastructure. It's the same with the north-south interconnector. It's the same with wind farms around the country that your party is opposing.
I think it's overly simplistic to actually base opposition to projects and the manner that they're being held to that particular element. So, for example, the CRU fined Ishka Aaron 20 million euros because of the fact that it failed to achieve its objectives in terms of the amount of water that's leaked out of Dublin on a daily basis. So we have an organization that has proven itself to be absolutely incapable of delivering projects, even as hooking up those houses before 2050.
Well, is that fair? We have a Victorian water supply system that was chronically underfunded for about 70 years. And they are trying now to correct that. And finally, there is some funding coming through, despite the widespread opposition to water charges. Finally, they are making efforts to close that. That's not going to happen overnight. That's going to take many years to fix all that those leaks.
So, for example, Thames Water is operating with exactly the same type of water infrastructure that Dublin is using. And Thames Water has managed to get its level of leaks to well below 20% in a 4-year period for less money than it's costing Uisge Éireann to do. One of the questions that came out of yesterday's committee was that there's going to be 20% of farmers are refusing to sign agreements to voluntarily proceed here, which is going to lead to a significant level of compulsory purchase orders. There's also now evidence to say that there's a significant level of groundwater in Dublin that could also feed into the Dublin procurement of water as well. It is so frustrating to think that half the promised capacity of this pipeline is being lost in terms of leaks. And, you know,
it's also frustrating that this project could have been done 20 years ago at a fraction of the cost, if it wasn't for the kind of opposition that you're talking about now.
Now, to be honest here, like, I actually don't think the opposition is a problem here at all. This particular project is in planning. It's in on commissioning plan all at the moment. The groups around it, especially in the Tipperary area, are actually feeding into that. So there's no material evidence at all that any of the campaigns have actually physically slowed down this particular project. It is hitting its objectives in terms of planning. The key issues here is, will the country have the 10 billion euros necessary to build this? Will it then create an exposure because of the lack of diversity of supply into the locality? We should have a number of smaller supplies.
Do you share your colleague Paul Lawless's concerns over wind turbines planned for Mayo?
Well, I do think that there is an issue of consent that's important in relation to wind turbines. Right now, we have dispatch down. You mentioned it earlier. Dispatch down is happening in 15% of the electricity that's created in terms of wind turbines. We know that the grid is hammered in terms of bottlenecks, in terms of constraints. We know that there's a diminishing return from each turbine that we add onto the system because of that those bottlenecks. We need investment in our infrastructure, our grid infrastructure, to make sure that we can actually handle this level of renewable energy.
Wind turbines, I think you'll agree.
And the last point here is, and this is really important for both the Partín pipeline and for wind turbines. The government is powering ahead with data centers. Both of them but data centers are enormously thirsty in terms of water and electricity. And, you know, we're not going to get on top of either supply chains until we actually get a moratorium in the level of data centers in this country. Data centers are buying electricity for a rate that's far lower than domestic householders in this country. And they're now using more electricity than every urban domestic account in the country. It does not make sense that we're developing our electricity system and our water system on this basis.
Okay, we will leave it there. Patrick Tobin, leader of AIN2, thank you indeed for talking to the Hard Shoulder. Let us know what you make of it all. 087 1400 106.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.